Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll speak about what makes a good father. Proverbs chapter 3. You know, Proverbs was written by Solomon, David's son. And when Solomon was becoming king, he prayed and asked God. Or at first, God asked him, "What shall I give you? What do you want, Solomon? Name it." And Solomon's request was that God would give him wisdom to be able to lead the people of Israel aright. And God was pleased with that request. And he says, "You got it." And gave him a wisdom that exceeded anybody that's ever lived on the face of the earth. And then God went on and said, "Because you did not ask for riches and wealth and fame, I'm going to give that to you as well." God was pleased with his request. And Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes are records of the wisdom that God gave to King Solomon. And when you come to Proverbs, I mean, this is a tremendously valuable book. It's got wisdom that for each and every one of us, daily things in our lives. But you step back and you understand that's a need that we have, and certainly we consider that. But it's also important to remember the purpose Solomon had in writing this book was to pass that wisdom on to his son. He's looking at his son and he's saying, "You know what? I've got to give you some stuff. I've got to prepare you for life and all that it has in store for you." And so that's what Solomon's purpose was in writing this book. We benefit by that as well, but that was his purpose in writing this thing. So let's begin reading in verse 1 here of Proverbs chapter 3. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You want a long life? You want peace? Pay attention to what I'm telling you. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Be merciful, but hang to the truth as well. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men." Verse 5, probably the most well-known passage from the book of Proverbs: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If you got nothing else out of the book of Proverbs, get those two verses right there. Trust God with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In everything, acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy paths. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And I encourage you, if you've never spent some time in Proverbs, do so. Just stop and think about that here. This was written probably about 600-700 B.C. No, more than that. About 1,000 B.C. So 3,000 years ago, this man sat down and wrote what's recorded in the book of Proverbs. And it's more up to date than when you open tomorrow's newspaper. It applies to what's going on in our lives. But today we're going to look at fathers from the book of Proverbs here and other places. You know, Father's Day just doesn't seem to get the honor and attention that Mother's Day does. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Someone has said that there are 40 million more cards bought on Mother's Day than there are on Father's Day. 40 million. When you look at the average spending last year for fathers on Father's Day, it was $171. For mothers, it was $245. Quite a disparity there, isn't it? Call a restaurant 2 weeks before Mother's Day. Sorry, we're booked full. Walk in on Father's Day. How many in your party? 25. Right this way. There's definitely a disparity there. 1914 was when Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation making Mother's Day a national holiday. Anyone know when Father's Day was made a national holiday? 1914, Mother's Day. It wasn't till Richard Nixon in 1972, 58 years later, signed Father's Day as a national holiday. So the differences are pretty dramatic, aren't they? But I doubt that there's a dad here that is bothered by that disparity. Am I right? Moms deserve some honor. Dads do too. But it's all right that moms get more. You know, how many people have burst out in tears when praising their dad? But all of them do about their mom, don't they? But that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But Solomon has some words for us. And I want to use father, the letters of father, as an acrostic for my outline this morning. So as we look at this, the F, first and foremost, stands for faith. You want to make a good father? You got to start with faith. And you need to start with a saving faith. You know, children need a father that knows their heavenly father. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." In Mark chapter 6, it said, chapter 8, it says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You know what? We want our kids to do well. We want our kids to get everything that we can give them and even more. We want them to have the best clothes and the best place to live and the best education we can provide for them. But if you don't give them Jesus Christ, you failed them. Because all that you give them, while they might have a wonderful life here on this earth, they're going to spend eternity in hell without Jesus Christ. What a tragedy that is. That your child might grow to be a doctor or some other great level in our society. And be wealthy and have good, healthy kids and be able to do so much for them and die and go to hell? What a tragedy. So dads, that starts with us. We got to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you this morning, dads? If you were to die right now, do you know where you'll spend eternity? Because you can't pass that on to your kids if you don't have it yourself. That's the most important thing, is a saving faith. The most important role a father can play in his child's life is to bring them to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because then you've prepared them for eternity. And not just for the fleeting moments of this life. But secondly, not only a saving faith, but dads, we need to have a living faith. Our kids need to see God alive in our lives. We need to demonstrate that faith, that relationship that we have with God. As he said here in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Dads, we need to put our complete faith and confidence in God, not just for salvation, but for all the things that life is going to throw at us. Man, there's going to be a bunch of them. I don't know. I've been saved 48 years this year in October. So I saved 48 years, married 44 years, and I'll have been in the ministry at the end of this month 40 years. God's been good to me. But I look back upon these 48 years, and I don't know how I would have done it without Jesus Christ. I know I was on my way to hell before I got saved. I said I won't live to be 30 years old. And I believe had I not gotten saved, I probably would not have lived to see 30 years old. The way that I was living, the stuff that I was involved in, the year that I graduated from high school, that summer, I was spent 6 days in the county jail. Ended up on 5 years probation for that thing. And Jesus Christ made a difference in my life. This woman never would have looked at me had she seen me before I was saved. I would not have had her in my life. I would not have had those 5 precious kids and those 4 especially precious grandchildren that we've got. And I think about the things that we've been through. Elizabeth was born when we lived in Rochester, New York, when I was going to Bible school. And from there in 1983, God took us out to Kansas, where we lived for 17 years, and 3 of the others were born out there. And just looking at all the things that God did in our lives and in moving us to Kansas, And the things that God did for us while living there, and things got kind of lean at times while we lived there, but God took care of us. And then in 2000, God moved us here. And then a couple years later, there was another one born. And I look at all these things, and I don't know how I would have done it without God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he says, lean not unto thine own understanding. It didn't make sense for a boy that grew up in New York State to move out to Kansas. And then from Kansas to move to central Pennsylvania. But it's not my understanding. But as I look at every step of the way, God had a plan. God had a purpose. I didn't expect to start a church here in central Pennsylvania. But God had a plan. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's not a course that I plotted out. It's the path that God directed each step of the way. And a lot of those choices I didn't see coming until right there. Okay, well, let's do this. And she's hanging on for dear life. What are we going to do now? Honey, let's just wait and see what God wants to do. He's been so good to us. And kids need to see that in our lives, that confidence, that faith, that trust in God lived out in our lives. So it's not just a matter of showing up for an hour in church on Sunday morning. But this is real. This is something that is our life. And it has an effect on every aspect of our lives. A living faith to face the trials and challenges. You know, kids don't come with an instruction manual. And every kid is different. When Elizabeth was born, mom said to her one day, you know, Eileen, that Elizabeth is a stubborn child. Then 4 years later, Sarah was born. And after a while, she says, "You know, Eileen, I thought Elizabeth was stubborn, but Sarah's got her beat." And you know, Elizabeth was, you know, this child that we have, and she was pretty easy. And then Sarah came along, and she was kind of the exact opposite. Not that she was difficult, but she was definitely a challenge in some ways. Then Andy was born. And he was probably, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years old. And I said to Eileen's mom one day, "Hey, Mom, do you remember you told us that Elizabeth was a stubborn child, but Sarah was the stubbornest child you ever met? What about Andy?" And she looked at me and she laughed and never answered my question. Because we thought we had the two exact opposites in Elizabeth and Sarah, and then this other one came from another universe altogether. They're all different. And you can't deal with them the same. And you need God's wisdom for the challenges that we face as a parent. So the F in Father stands for faith. We need to have that. And we need to teach them to trust God by showing them. The A stands for available. Well, this is one that took me a while to learn. You know, dads, we need to be available to our kids. We need to be there. We need to be involved in their lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Solomon says, you got to have some stuff, young man. And I've got to be involved in your life to give that to you. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3. "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." There's some chastening, there's some correction that comes along. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Dads, we need to be involved in what our kids are doing. Be a part of it. Be interested. Too many dads are detached. They're stuck with their friends or their hobbies or their work, which was a mistake I made early in our marriage and for too long into it, in fact. But we need to be engaged in our kids' lives. We need to be a part of what they're doing. You know, I never played basketball. In case you can't tell, I'm not really built to be a basketball player. But guess who coached basketball for some of my kids? I don't even like basketball. But I need to be a part. I coached soccer, never played soccer either. I coached baseball. Now I played baseball. I like baseball. But it's important to be a part of what our kids are doing. To show them that we are engaged, that we're available to them. We're a part of their lives. We need to not be distracted by work, hobbies, and friends. You know, any male can be a baby daddy. But not every baby daddy is a father. And our kids need fathers. That's something that's missing a lot of times in the homes today. Broken homes, and sometimes dad's just gone. Or if he's not gone, he's not really there. Our kids need us. You know, I was a mechanic when I got saved. Continued to work at that while I was going to Bible school in Rochester. Moved to Kansas and continued to do that because that helped to keep some food on the table. And so dad's looked to as the one that can fix everything. 5 kids, and at some point in their lives, I've gotten a phone call from the middle of Missouri or someplace. "Hey, Dad, my car's making this funny noise. What do I do?" Now, I get frustrated by that because it's pretty hard to diagnose something from 1,000 miles away from the description that they're giving to you. But you know what? I'm glad that they realize I'm available. And they'll call. As frustrated as I might be at the moment, I look back and think, they called me. They know where to look for help. Dads, be there for them. Be there for your kids. Dads, especially for your daughters. Listen, there's going to be some clown that's going to come along. And he's going to want some things from your daughter that you don't want her to give to him. You need to make sure that you've given her the love and affirmation of that she's special and that you love her and that she's beautiful and that she's a treasure that should be reserved for one man. Don't let her go looking to somebody else for those needs in her life. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles 29, David is at the end of his life. And he's soon to turn the throne over to his son Solomon. And he says this here in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. David had a desire to build a temple for God. Up till his time, they just had that tabernacle that had been with them from the wilderness, made of animal skins, and had been torn down and set up repeatedly as the people of Israel traveled in the wilderness. Then they got it to Jerusalem. It was established there. And as David grew and gained power and gained wealth as king of Israel, he saw that tabernacle down there. He says, God, you deserve better than that. And so he aspired to build God this temple, a place of worship, a place that would reflect how he felt God ought to be honored. And so he started putting things in motion. God says, you can't build it, but I'll let your son build it. So David begins to put everything together. He enlists the contractors. He gets the materials. He's got everything ready, and all he's got to do is, Solomon's just got to give the word, and the work is going to begin. But God, David's looking at this thing, and look at all this stuff that's accumulated and all these workers that are just ready to go to work. He says, God, this all came from you. I've got all this prepared to build this house for thy holy name. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Is also the end of David's life, even closer to the end than 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So 1 Kings chapter 2, we read this. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, as Solomon was giving proverbs to his son, David gave these words to Solomon. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. David's near the end. I believe David was a distracted father. He was busy conquering the people, the enemies of the people of Israel. He was busy building the kingdom. He was busy building his own place. He was busy running the kingdom. And I'm not so sure he was engaged in Solomon's life like he should have been. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but this is my opinion on this anyway, so take it for that. But I believe he's looking back and he says, you know what? I've not been the dad I needed to be to this boy. And I realize the great responsibility that lies on his shoulders at this point. He says, son, you need to be a man. And being a man, you need to keep the charge of the Lord. Because what you don't maybe not realize, Solomon, is that not only is your future dependent upon this, but the future of our entire nation rests upon you right now. Notice again what he said in verse 4. He says that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me. He says, here's what God told me, Solomon. If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Solomon, God gave me this promise that the possibility is there for our seed to continue on his throne unbroken forever. But only if you continue. And I wonder if David didn't see some things lacking in Solomon's life. Things lacking that he had not put in there. Because it was under Solomon's son Rehoboam that the kingdom split. And they began to depart from God's ways. And the condition that the nation of Israel is in today is because they didn't do what God said to do. There's not a king in Israel today because they failed. And I think it goes back to a man not being involved in his son's life like he should have been. We need to be involved in their activities, doing them with them as well as for them. That's the A, available. The T, for teaching. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, there's some things I don't understand about that verse. But I do know this. I have a responsibility to train my child as much as possible in the way he should go. That when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've had some kids that have wavered. Got at least one now, probably two, that really aren't where they ought to be. Keep praying for them. And even though I might have failed along the way, I did try to train them properly. Dads, that's our responsibility. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6 is Israel's about to enter into the promised land. This is toward the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and Moses is getting ready to die and pass the leadership on to Joshua. He's giving them these final instructions. The Deuteronomy covers probably about 30 days. What takes place in Deuteronomy here is the last 30 days before Joshua begins to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And so we find these words beginning in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, And when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy doors and on thy gates. He says, you put the word of God before those kids all the time. Not just before you pray, before you eat. But he says, when you're rising down, when you're lying down, when you're rising up, when you're walking by the way, we need to teach them constantly. That's our responsibility. They're warped. Any parents here taught your children to lie? You don't need to raise your hands. How many of your kids lied? They learn that because that's part of the nature. There's a flaw. There's a defect in the model. And what we need to do is correct that. And that comes from the proper teaching. We need to instill in them a good work ethic. You know what? If a kid is just willing to show up and go to work, you can get a job today. You don't even have to be a talented individual. Just be there and be willing to try. Right, Bob? I told you about the guys that he interviewed a few weeks ago. And they won't even show up for the interview a lot of times. You take a kid that's willing to put his head down and just push forward, he's going to go somewhere. She's going to go somewhere. Teach them the right things. It's our responsibility to mold them, develop their God-given talents. And parents, be careful about trying to mold them in your image. You know, I look at Jesse right now, and I had no inkling of an idea that he'd be going off in the direction that he's going now. I never saw that kid as a mechanic. I saw him sitting behind a desk somewhere, keeping his fingernails clean. But praise God, he's willing to work, willing to get his hands dirty. Doesn't matter what you do, just do it. Teach your kids that. The value of giving an employer an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. We've got to put that in them. To be truthful in what they do and committed to what they say that they're going to do. Boy, that's so lacking in our society today. We need to strengthen their weaknesses. We need to encourage them and channel their strengths in constructive ways. And you need to trust God to lead you in doing that thing. Because it's not on us, folks, to fully understand that thing. Teach them right. The H stands for head. Dads, we're to be the leaders in the home. God gave us that responsibility. A husband is the head of the wife, it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Now that doesn't say a dictator. We need to care for our wives. We need to listen to our wives. But ultimately, you know what? The decision is on our shoulders. And there's times we ought to make decisions, tough decisions, unpopular decisions. But that's our responsibility as the leaders. Harry Truman had a sign on his desk that said, "The buck stops here." You know, this is something I've learned as a pastor. Something goes wrong, it's my fault. Even though somebody else might have been a part of it or did it, it's still, I'm the leader. It's my fault. And dads, same thing in your family. it's your fault. We need to take that leadership role. The leader takes the heat for what's going on. And we need to bear it to shield it from the rest of our family. God designed us that way. God desires for us to do that. The leader makes sacrifices for the sake of those under him. There's times we just got to suck it up and do what's right and take the beating and give up what we want for the benefit of our family. And I'm going to add an extra H in here. I guess that makes it father her or something like that. I don't know. Humility. Dad, be willing to admit when you're wrong. Boy, I've made some doozies. Admit it. And use that as a teachable moment for your kids as well. The E stands for an encourager. You know, we get, and this is one where I've failed a lot in, we get focused on correcting and disciplining aspect and so much on the negative that we miss the positive. You know, we see the things that our kids are doing wrong and we want to get that fixed because dads are fixers, right? And too often times we're too light on the praise. They're not perfect. But they not only need to be corrected, they need to be encouraged. Yeah, they got to be tore down once in a while. But you also got to build them back up again. You got a kid that you're just and I did this, especially with Andy. Just, I was on him all the time. And I failed to see the good things and encourage the good things in his life. And while he is probably the most wayward of our children, I probably bear some responsibility for that. Be an encourager, Dad. Make sure they know that you love them no matter what. Even when they've made the wrong choice. Even when that you don't approve of who their friends are or who they choose as a partner. And fill that blank in however you want. You still love them. And you still make them know that you love them and encourage them. That's our responsibilities, dads. And finally, the R stands for release them. You're not going to keep them forever. And sometimes mom wants to hang on, you know. But you got to prepare them to be on their own. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3 again. Look at that. Verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, as Solomon is telling his son. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You're not going to know all the answers, son. So as a dad, I need to get my son and my daughters to the place where I'm not going to be there all the time. And I'm not going to be available for them all the time. And they need to know where to look when they're on their own. To trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal son. Man had two boys. One of them got to looking around. He was tired of working on the farm, tired of taking care of the animals all the time, tired of cleaning out the pens. And he says, I want what's mine. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to the city, the bright lights, all the excitement. And you know what the father did? He let him go. He gave him his half, and he sent him out. And he said, I know what that boy's facing. I don't know all about what's going to happen to him, but I know most of it's not going to be good. And I dare say every day that dad was out there looking, watching the path, and praying for him that he'll come back. And then one day, many years later, I think I recognize that walk. And sure enough, it's the son. But he let him go. And parents, you gotta let them prepare to let him go. Prepare them to be let go. So that they don't have to end up in the hog pen, hoping somebody will feed them some slop, and realizing they got a home they can come back to if they need to. This is maybe off the subject a little bit. Do you know what? Had somebody given that boy a meal and a bed, he never would have gone home. He needed to go through that to make his way back home. That's called tough love. You gotta let him go through it to really learn the lesson and understand there's a place I can go to. No matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, though I was released, I can still come back home again. Amen. General Douglas MacArthur wrote these words. It was a prayer for his son. He said, build me a son, O Lord, who'll be strong enough to know when I was weak, when he is weak, and brave enough to face himself when he's afraid. One who will be proud and unbending and honest in defeat, and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son on whose wishes will not take the place of deeds. A son who will know thee, who is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and the spur of difficulties and challenge. Here let him learn to stand up to the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, one who will reach into the future, yet not forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, but never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness and an open mind of true wisdom and the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. I believe if we will practice what God tells us in his words, dads, as parents, then we will have not lived in vain. But we have set forth a godly seed that will be the future of our church, our community, and our nation. I want to do something different this morning. For the invitation, I'm going to invite all the dads to please come up here. I just want to have a prayer together. So, if you want to make your ways up here this morning. times we've done baby dedications, but let's do a dad dedication this morning. Getting close, guys. Lord God, we present ourselves before you this morning as imperfect men, flawed human beings, with our own weaknesses, our own failures, our own besetting sins. But God, we come before you this morning and asking for your help. The first and foremost, we trust you with all our hearts, that we truly learn the value of not leaning on our own understanding, God, but acknowledging you, recognizing you, looking to you in all our ways, for the proper direction of our paths. Lord, left to ourselves, it will end in failure. But God, by your grace and by your strength, our children will be trophies of your grace. God, help us to pass on that saving faith to them and also that living faith, and teach and to train them, God. We thank and praise you for the hope, the help that you give us. Help these men, each one, to commit personally to do what's pleasing and honoring and glorifying your sight. Help us in making the tough decisions, Lord. And help us to admit when we failed. We thank and praise you, God, for who you are, for the precious promises of your word, and help us in applying them in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. And deacons, if you'd...